T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
In the studio, I have Speech Thomas, a.k.a. Speech. Like, everybody knows him by just one name. I'm going to get that famous one day, ladies and gentlemen. I got Speech in the building. Speech, how are you, man?
What is up? I'm doing good. I'm glad to be here, man.
Glad to have you here. We also have Sam Bathrick. Began his career as a refugee caseworker in West Africa, interviewing survivors of war, a job that would ignite his passion for human stories. What up, man?
Wow. Who wrote that? Good to be here. Thank you.
Thank you for being here, man. That's a hell of a beginning.
That is. I love that.
Right? Speech, we know you, brother. We love you. We followed
Thank
your career
you
for
too.
A very long time. And you have done something, both of you have done something quite remarkable. You decided to tap into the talent, the natural talent, of individuals who are incarcerated. Give us the background to this.
So long story short, I've always been passionate about the criminal justice injustice. And when I saw a special on CNN in a particular jail in Richmond, Virginia, of a daddy-daughter dance, it let me know that some sheriff there had a vision for helping these men to be human in the eyes of the world and in the eyes of their families. And that meant a lot to me. So we called up that particular jail and tried to work our way through, you know, who to talk to. And then when we found someone that we could talk to, I reached out to Sam, who I had actually known from a previous documentary we did together on Atlanta. And we clicked. And Sam was just as passionate about this issue as I was. And we started talking. And that was how it started.
Wow. Sam, let's talk about your involvement, because you're the guy who brings us the narrative, right?
Yes.
When Speech gave you a call and said, hey, I want to go inside of jails or go inside of the jail and coordinate with talented individuals and allow them to have a voice, what was your first thought?
Well, to be very honest, I don't think we knew what kind of film we were making from the start. Mm-hmm. What we knew was that there was a recording studio in this jail, and that interests me a lot as a filmmaker and as someone who's worked a lot in music documentaries. So that was my starting point. I don't think we knew not just how talented and poetic and deep the music and lyrics that were going to come out of this, but how much we were going to start to uncover all these questions that we have and that these folks have about the system and about the environment that they're coming from. So, you know, I can't say I went in saying we're going to make this film about all these issues. It was more like we had one simple question, which was, why are you here? How did you get here?
Yeah.
And the answer was never, these are my charges. The answer was always much deeper than that, and it came out through the music, and it came out through these conversations that these folks were having with Speech inside the jail.
How much of this was therapeutic for the individual incarcerated, and how much of it was social and art is expressive?
I mean, I can't answer for them individually, but I can say that all of them were excited to be a part of this program.
Mm-hmm.
All of them wanted to be a part of this program. They wanted to express themselves. They wanted their voices to be heard, and they had a lot to say. So I would assume that it was therapeutic for them in various ways, and I would also assume that they wanted to express themselves and let the world hear, you know, possibly hear what they were going to say. And the passion that you witness when you listen to the music and when you see the music being recorded, even on the film, you know that they were in it to win it. These men were really desperately striving to get these songs out here.
Why was there a recording studio inside of the jail?
I want to answer that to some extent. We helped bring some things to the jail. It was very, very, this was a very bare bones
low
situation.
Budget.
I mean, extremely low budget, to say the least.
And
a lot of it
that's
donated.
There was donated
exactly
by VCU and there's
exactly
a lot
percussion
of
companies, various people donated, and as did we. We donated Pro Tools, which is the new way of recording music,
right,
pretty much, right? So to say it was a studio, he's right, you know, but it wasn't, you know, it wasn't like a studio that you think of, like balling. And then number one. But number two, we knew that Sheriff C.T. Woody was the one that I was very inspired by in the sense of his view of these men that were in jail. I mean, he looked at them as residents. He actually never called them inmates. He called them residents. And his view was that this is a temporary stop for you. This is not going to be a situation of recidivism, and we're going to give you some tools and outlets that can help you to redirect your energies towards better and more positive things. And I love that viewpoint. And so, that's what I saw. Yeah.
Was it difficult to gain access? Because obviously you found this jail based on some of the progressive ideas the sheriff had in the first place.
Exactly, yes.
So once you made the connection, how difficult was it to make the rest of the sale, basically, to come in and do what you're doing?
I think and Sam can answer this just as well or better than I can, but I think the passion to have us come in was there. That's what I got from Sarah and CT.
I think they wanted the cameras turned on this. They, you know, Sheriff Woody was in the news every day saying, listen, we can't lock away these problems.
Exactly right.
This has to be about rehabilitation.
Exactly
Addiction
right.
Addiction
yeah.
is an illness. It's not a crime. We
exactly.
need to treat these root causes. So when we said we want to make a film and record this music and record these guys, we were given full access. I mean, we were in their cells with them without guards.
Now, having said that, I'm sorry to cut you off, Sam.
Yeah.
It took a long time for the red tape part, though.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because, in other words, you're dealing with people who are incarcerated who cannot make money. And you can correct me wherever I'm wrong, but this is my understanding of it,
sure.
is that they could not make money from the things that they did while they were, in a sense, state property. You know what I'm saying? Like, they were not allowed to be private citizens, in a sense, doing
right.
whatever business they want to do. So there was a lot of hoops and things that we needed to strive to work out in order to make this work. And that's what I remember.
You spent 10 days, one night?
Yes, 10 days, one night. I spent the night one time in there. And, it was intense. Well, the 10 days was intense, period, because every day, of course, I go in, I'm checked just like anyone that goes in there is, and then going through the various levels of security to get into the actual pod, you lose your freedom, even though I know I can walk out at any time, quote unquote, but you lose freedom whenever you feel huge metal doors slam behind you. That's just a feeling of common sense. Like, I'm losing my freedom with each advancement I'm going into this prison or jail. And then the night that I spent the night, yes, I knew that I could push a button literally and get the guard to release me at any point I wanted to. It still doesn't release the feeling for me as a man in a cement metal structure. It did not feel like anything I had ever experienced in my life. It felt sterile, inhumane, and I'm not saying this as a diss to whatever has to be done in order to keep someone in a prison cell. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying what I felt. It felt inhumane and sterile, and it felt like tons of cement on top of me and tons of metal on top of me. That's the feeling that I felt as I sat in that cell.
Why was that necessary for you to experience incarceration?
I don't know if it was necessary for me. I feel like I was here with these men and connecting with these men, and I wanted to better understand a glimpse of what they felt. And so I just didn't feel whole being in this experience and not having felt what it would feel like to lay in this bed, what it would feel like to have that cell door closed, what it would feel like to feel that steel bed that I'm laying on and that sink with no, you know, the toilet with no top on it and the sink with no amenity. I mean, it was a very real thing that I wanted to tangibly be able to at least imagine. And so that was part of my reason.
I'll say, too, I mean, Speech spent the night in the jail, and we discussed it afterwards as we were looking through the footage. I mean, that didn't even end up in the film. And I think one of the main reasons for that was that wasn't about a gimmick or about look at me and I put on these clothes.
Exactly.
Speech really wanted to experience it. And a lot of the guys who were on those pods, it, you know, really respected that he did that. But ultimately it wasn't the story that we were telling.
No, it wasn't. And we did want to make sure that it wasn't about me. that it was about these men and that the voices that were heard the most were going to be these men.
We got some superstars here?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Literally, I feel like some of these men, if they weren't behind bars and if they were given the same type of, you know, promotion that this film actually does for them, they would be people that America would celebrate right now. And people say that when they see the film. I won't give away the names right now. I want people to come in with a fresh perspective, and I don't want them to have a preconceived thought of anybody. But there's a particular guy in the film that when people hear him express and create his pieces, they compare him to a modern-day Tupac. And this is what people have said to me.
Wow.
And others in this film, they compare them to someone that would literally be an American superstar right now, others in this film. So, I mean, it's amazing, yeah.
And it's hip-hop, but it's also, you know, we're in Virginia. There's some country blues.
Yeah, exactly.
Really interesting collaborations.
Wow.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's true. It's hip-hop primarily, but there's some other styles of music. There's some gospel in this. There's some country. There's some blues. It's a mixture of expression.
Let me ask you, gentlemen, this. Is anyone bringing it like Tip? That's my number one.
I think the answer is yes. You know what I'm saying? Without taking anything away from Tip, I'm saying I think it brings rawness and realness to their situation. I think it's powerful.
So I gotta check this out for myself now because you have challenged my number one lyricist.
Come on, I love that. I love it. No, it's not a challenge. It's for me, like personally, it's just you said bring it like.
Yeah, I feel like. Damn that speech. It's a challenge to see. All right, so here's the thing. The documentary airs this weekend.
This weekend.
How can people see it?
Go to centerofcivilandhumanrights.org, and you can get RSVP to get in.
Free.
And free. But you do need to RSVP, so do that right now. And it starts at 5, and it's at the SCAD Show here right downtown Atlanta.
Right across the street. Also, you can go to the website, 16barsthefilm.com.
16barsthefilm.com.
And that's the number 16. 16barsthefilm.com. 16barsthefilm.com to get all of the information there. Speech, Sam, you're doing the work of God. I appreciate you both, man.
We appreciate Thank you. You Thank you for having us on, man.
All right, man. We're looking forward to it. And make sure you check out this interview. We're going to post it at WAOK.com later today. You're getting real with the Realest Man on Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.